afternoon, everyone out there in Internet Radio Land. It's the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. I hope you're doing all right. It's a beautiful day here in San Antonio. Not too hot yet, although it's been in the 90s over the last week, gotten some rain. And today is a Saturday. Nowadays, it seems like every day is a Saturday for me because I'm retired. It is a great feeling. It's surreal. I still can't believe it. I started working in the United States as a Canadian citizen in 1973. I worked part-time after graduating from high school in Guadalajara, Mexico. I moved up to San Diego with my parents and got a job working as a linen boy at the Master Host Inn in Mission Circle, San Diego. It was a summer job. And then I began junior college in the fall. And I got a part-time job working as a bellman at a hotel also in Mission Circle called the LeBaron Hotel. And I worked that job part-time for about 2 years. And so I was a bellman. Do you know what a bellman is? What a bellman does? They carry people's bags and they take them to the room. They show them around the hotel, answer questions. And when I finished junior college in 1975, I enrolled at the University of San Diego and I was going to major in philosophy. Believe it or not, I was taking martial arts back then, a style of Korean karate called Tang Soo Do. I got a green belt, which was like 4 steps from the beginner. So it went 10th degree white belt, 9th degree white belt, 8th degree white belt, 7th degree green belt, 6th degree green belt. And I was, 10987 white belt, and 654 green, 321 red, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way to 10 black belt. So I got my 6 degree green belt. And then I stopped. I wish I had, but when I was with the U.S. Army in Korea from 1987 to 89, I started taking Taekwondo, which was another style of Korean karate. So I had all the basics down, all the kicking, the punching, and the blocking. And it didn't take me long to work through the ranks, and I got my black belt. I actually failed the black belt test the first time I took it. I had to go to a place called Kukiwon, which is in Seoul, Korea. And they had a whole bunch of people there, and they were grading several people at the same time, and they said that I wasn't aggressive enough when I was doing the sparring, you know, the freestyle fighting. So the next time I took it, I made sure I did a better job. I wound up breaking my right thumb. I got kicked. This one guy I was fighting with was a Korean guy, and he had huge thighs. So I did a back kick, and I went to block him. And the golden rule is not to have your thumb sticking out. But I did. I had mine sticking out, and it broke. Afterwards, my instructor was there. I showed him. And he said, "Oh, man, looks like it's broken. All right, you'll be okay." So I got my black belt in Taekwondo. Anyway, I was going to get my second degree black belt, but I left Korea at that time, and I didn't pick it up. It was kind of hard on the back. You know, the spinning moves, spinning back kicks. But that's pretty good, right? That's a pretty good accomplishment. I've done quite a few good things in my life, things to be proud of. I graduated from high school. 23 years later, I got my Bachelor of Science degree in liberal arts from a college called Excelsior College. I kind of pieced it together with my service in the military. And I was telling you about my work career. Sometimes I get a little bit sidetracked, you know, but I'm spontaneous. I prefer that rather than writing things down, trying to stay organized, trying to remember things. I'm a spontaneous person. So I think based on what I've heard from BDS Radio Input, there are a lot of people that listen to my radio show, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And I like to think that part of it is because I am spontaneous. I do think of some things I'm going to talk about beforehand, but then I just let it flow. I change subjects often, and that's okay. I don't want to be limited. I am a Toastmaster, which means I practice public speaking, and that's another really good thing I've done in my life, and that is I've earned this recently. I think I talked about it on a previous show. What is known as a Distinguished Toastmaster Award, which is the highest award that they give Toastmasters. It took me 27 years, a little bit longer than my Bachelor of Science degree, but I got the highest award, which actually I got in the recent past. They've got a new system now called Pathways, and I've been doing that since 2020. The old system, I was one step away from getting my Distinguished Toastmaster Award. Then they came up with Pathways, and I had to start again. They did grandfather people a couple of years and allowed them to finish it, but it was too much for me because I was working full-time. So I didn't complete it. I had become an Advanced Communicator Gold, which is the highest part of two tracks, the communication track. As far as the leadership track was concerned, I had made the second out of three. In other words, I was an Advanced Leader Bronze. They have just plain Advanced Leader Bronze, and Advanced Leader Silver. Once you get to Silver, if you're an Advanced Communicator Gold, then you get your Distinguished Toastmaster. But I fell short, so they started the new system in 2020, around then, 2019, I can't remember exactly. And I just got it. I had to do a couple of pathways, which each one involves five different levels, and each level has three or four speeches to give. And so it takes a while to complete a pathway, and you have to have two of them. Then you have to have served as a club president or vice president education, vice president public relations, vice president membership, secretary, treasurer, or sergeant at arms, which I did, a couple of positions. Then you have to have served as a district officer, either an area director or division director. I did the area director last year. This year, I'm a division director. I have 19 clubs that I'm responsible for. And pretty soon, my tenure will be over. The 30th of June is the end of the year. The Toastmaster years are from 1 July until 30 June the following year. Also, you have to have completed a Distinguished Toastmaster project. For me, it was being the chair of a Toastmasters Learning Institute and arranging it, organizing it, filling all the roles, reaching out to the people, finding the Toastmasters who would give the training. So I ran that, and I got credit for it. I had to get a couple of people to mentor me, and we had to have some meetings. So I finished that project, and then also the last thing was you had to complete what is known as a youth leadership program. And I finished that back in April. It was 8 sessions at a high school, a local high school, where you were the Toastmaster. I was the Toastmaster of the day for a class of gifted and talented high school students. On the average, there was about maybe 7 to 9 people there each time. Very sharp young people, teenagers, you know, almost as good as the professional Toastmasters. I'm going to take a drink. So I did my 8 sessions. I started in October. I finished in April. And then I applied for the Distinguished Toastmaster Award, and it was granted on the 3rd of April. So again, that was one of the best things I've done in my life. Of course, serving in the Army, 22 years active duty, 4 years in the infantry, 11 Charlie in mortars. And then after that, I reclassified to 71 Lima, admin specialist, clerk typist, in other words. I had to go to school at Fort Jackson. I graduated, went to Korea for 2 years. Then I went to Bowling Green State University, the ROTC there, for about 3 years. Then I applied to go to language school in Monterey. And I went there to study Turkish for 1 year. I graduated. And I went to Turkey for 5.5 months. And then my son was born. He had a medical condition. I had to request a compassionate reassignment. And I went back to Monterey. And part of the compassionate reassignment was being assigned to the city of San Francisco. And I went up there. I was there from August of 94. My son was born in May of 94. He just had his 31st birthday. He's doing good. I gave him one of my kidneys in a transplant while on active duty in the Army in 1995, March the 29th, because he was born with underdeveloped kidneys. It was kind of an incredible thing because he was born with a blockage in his ureter, which caused the urine to back up and poison the kidneys and stunt their growth. So when he was born, they had to do what they call a phlebotomy, and that is when they cut the skin in the back and allow the urine to drain out. And you can actually pull the skin back and look inside. It was an amazing thing. But not surprisingly, after 3 months, one of the kidneys became infected. We thought they would grow, but they didn't. So they took him out and he was put on peritoneal dialysis from age 3 to 10 months. I was tested to see if I was eligible to donate one of my kidneys. I had to go through the blood test, and that was a match, and also the tissue testing, again, another match. And so on March the 29th, 10 months later, after he was born, we went through a transplant surgery at Stanford University in San Francisco. They took my right kidney out and put it in him. You know, the kidney is about the size of the fist, normal adult fist. And it fit perfectly in his abdominal area. And he went through a lot. My son's been through a lot. God, please bless my son and help him in any way he needs it. That kidney lasted him 19 years. And then he needed another one. And for a father, it's a logical, normal thing to do, to donate a kidney if a son needs it, you know. My ex-wife, Anna, she couldn't donate her kidney because she had kidney disease in her family. Her father died at age 44, I think, from kidney disease, so I guess that's not a surprise what happened. Anyway, I donated one of my kidneys and then to him. And then in 2014, he got another one from his best friend's mother in Ohio. And he's been doing well with that one. There are average times when a kidney can last. Typically, they last longer from a family member, you know, like a father or a sibling, or someone who's related to the family. Someone who isn't, they last less, not as long. Maybe someone who had died in a car accident, a complete stranger, wouldn't last as long as, say, like me, you know, a father donating one of his kidneys. But sometimes you have a case, usually an exception, where a kidney, a donated kidney, can last a lifetime if the individual takes good care of themselves. And that involves drinking a lot of water. Let me give you your lesson for today, my friends. I'm going to take a drink of water first. Now, please don't forget this. This is a very important lesson taken from the Reverend Blake Ruby, who has no interest in anything other than to help you. If you want to give me $1 million for this, that would be fine. I could use it. Who couldn't? But this is a very special gift. My son talks about it in his new book that will be coming out called Finding Faith in Dialysis, because he's a very Christian young man. So this thing that he harps about a lot in his book, and he found out at a young age, and they didn't always do it, but now he knows for sure that this is one way to keep your kidneys healthy. I'm not kidding about this, okay? I'm not just saying this just to put the words out. I really mean it. If you want to keep your kidneys healthy, if you want to avoid getting diabetes, make sure you drink a lot of water every day. Can you do that? I do. That is a very secret thing that maybe you didn't know. Maybe you heard about it, but you didn't give much thought about it. I'm telling you, please remember, for your own sake and for everyone else's sake, pass it along and tell people, drink your 64 ounces of water each day. It's a miracle liquid. It will keep your kidneys and other organs healthy. You know how there's so much disease in the world nowadays, cancer, heart disease, diabetes. I'm telling you, water will help prevent disease, period. Okay, moving on. So some of the best things I've done in my life, I was in the Army. Of course, my son, you know, having a son, he's been a gift, a real blessing from heaven. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for him. No kidding. I feel that. He was sent from heaven. Maybe that was what we agreed upon before we were born, to help me out. And I'm at this station in life thanks to my son. And that brings up a very interesting point. Because most of us, as far as I know, take it from the Reverend Blake again, before you were born on this world, before you were born, you existed in spirit. It's called the pre-existence. And whatever you want to call it, the spirit lands, the spirit realm, heaven, the spirit world, you were in spirit. You had a soul. You've got a soul. It's the brain of your spirit. Before you were born, you chose this life. You chose the things that would happen to you. You chose your features. You chose your family. You even chose the accidents that would happen, any shortcomings. And the goal of you and your life in this life is to as closely follow what that plan was, which was endorsed by either the spirit mother or the spirit father who created your soul and spirit, to closely follow that plan, that mission as possible, so that you graduate from this existence, transition to the afterlife, spend some time in the spirit realm, in that land of light over there in the distance, where the spirit lives in the light, because the spirit is light energy, right? Spirit is light energy. It's made of billions of electrons. Did you know that? Your spirit pops out of your body. The spirit pops out of the body when we die. And it transitions to wherever your soul has grown in this life. Kind of like going to a school, and the university of the universe, this world is like a school. And you are already probably, we are, let me say that, classified by our soul's evolution, the level of our soul's evolution before we're born here. But when you go back in the afterlife to where you were, you hopefully will have grown your soul and increased the light of your soul, the intensity of the light, by all kinds of things. You can guess this as probably as well as I can, but I'll be happy to tell you what those things are being kind, generous, loving, family-oriented, friendly to people, doing random acts of kindness, studying spiritual development, studying things that would increase your soul's evolution, so to speak, learning about near-death experiences, learning about extraterrestrial phenomena, knowing in your mind of minds that we're not alone in the universe, that the universe is such a huge place, it's beyond comprehension, just how large it is. It's impossible to comprehend, my friends, just how big the universe is that we're a part of. On this beautiful cobalt blue world, floating in the blackness of space, revolving around our sun, that world of light over there, it's a very special fire, my friends. It's a nuclear fire where millions of tons of hydrogen are being converted into helium every second. It's a world on fire that ignited at its core many millions of years ago. I don't want to confuse you with some exaggerated numbers, but suffice it to say it's a long time ago when it happened. And it's the spirit world. Because I don't want to give you some fantasy information as to where heaven would be other than right there. In the universe, there are suns all over the place, right? Some solar systems, of course, the sun is the center, the matrix of a solar system, have other beings out there who are indigenous to their solar system. So take, for example, the gray aliens, right? Maybe the Large Magellanic Cloud Galaxy or the Andromeda Galaxy. A solar system over there might have two suns, smaller suns. Some have red suns. And they might live on a planet that has a different atmosphere, different atmospheric conditions. And their bodies are indigenous to that atmosphere. So their eyes are too. We are indigenous to our Earth's atmosphere. You understand what I'm saying? And indeed, the universe is teeming with life. The more intelligent our civilization becomes, the more we realize that that is true. Because for one thing, we know that the Kepler and James Webb Space Telescopes are discovering planets each and every day, right? The last count I heard was there's like over 3,000 planets they discovered and a few hundred solar systems. And so if all this life on Earth happened by accident, logically it could happen by accident on any one of those planets, right? Maybe not. They're not all Earth-like, let's put it that way. But our knowledge of life is not fully comprehensive, if you know what I mean. We know life as we know it here on Earth, but life could exist in other forms in other places around the universe. Does that make sense? So, my friends, the universe is a beautiful place that's teeming with life. Teeming with life. Einstein knew it. One of the smartest men that ever existed on planet Earth knew that there was life out there. I know that there's life out there. I don't need proof. I can bridge that gap between belief and knowledge. I'm going to take a drink. Back to what I was saying, we plan our lives. And staying as close to that plan, that mission, is what we need to do. Now, things can change. For example, when Blake was in the spirit world before being born onto this planet on August 9th, 1954, in a city in Canada, in a hospital, and after just having spent 8 months in my 9 months in my mother's womb, I popped into the world and the doctor slapped me on the back and I started crying. But the spirit and soul of Blake that came into that body at some point in time between when the heart started beating and a few months later, up to nine months. That spirit and soul existed in the pre-existence, in the spirit world, the spirit realm. It was probably brought to earth, unlike most spirits are, by an angel, because angels do exist. They're there in the spirit realm. And so Blake planned his life in detail, things that were going to happen along the way. Isn't that amazing how you can actually preview your life in heaven in the book of life and know that you have these certain milestones along the way? Here I am, 7 years old, and I could go out tomorrow, be driving down the road, and have deja vu, like, oh, I remember this. Because you remember when you previewed your life before you were born, that's what deja vu is. It's a remembering of when you previewed your life. So maybe you go around a corner and then you remember there's going to be a shack there. And sure enough, you go around the corner and there's a shack there or some building. And that's just remembering. It's an amazing thing. It's almost like all of this can be predestined, but there are forks in the road where you can choose to go down. It seems that in most cases, it doesn't matter if you turn left or you turn right. You're still going to go the way you were intended to go. But there are mistakes made in heaven. People, and you've heard it before, are told that it wasn't their time. They die. They die and they die. But then they're told it's not their time and they have to go back. And so it can be pretty complicated, but suffice to say that prayer also, like I was saying, can change things. And I was giving you an example. Say that I wonder if it's ever written into my life plan that Blake would win the lottery. I'd like to think so, because who couldn't use some extra money, you know? Buy a new house, a new car, go on a vacation, not have to work anymore, have your financial needs met for the rest of your life. But let's say, no, you didn't plan to have winning the lottery in your life plan before you were born, but you could pray. And if it was in accordance with the mother and father God's plan for your life that you have kind of agreed on with them, then it could happen. You could win the lottery. The people that do win the lottery in most cases did have that written into their life plan. Is it confusing? Yes, I think it is. Kind of complicated how it goes, but suffice it to say, as close as you stay to your plan, before you die and then graduate to that next existence, you know, through the process of reincarnation, a soul and a spirit, leaving your physical body here on earth, going to the spirit world for a while. And when you do, there'll be a remembering of the way things were back before you were born. Seeing all the angels around, seeing deceased relatives. I'm going to take another drink. And you'd be grouped in soul groups, depending on your level of evolution, which is the way it was before you were born. But mainly, the reason we're here is to develop ourselves spiritually. That's the main reason. I mean, I've said this before many times. It could be, you think, maybe to have the best job you can get. Marry the most beautiful spouse you can. Make as much money as possible to raise your children, to go on vacation, to have a beautiful house and wonderful cars. But no. Take it from the Reverend Blake again. Real and main reason you're here on Earth, this planet, in this solar system, in this galaxy, is to develop your spirit and your soul. Mainly your soul. Just like that song by The Police from 1981. We are spirits in the material world. That's what we are. These bodies are like coats that we shed when we come to that end, when we've reached our expiration date, hopefully a date far out into the future so that we can utilize this time appropriately and achieve all that great growth that the creator of the universe, separate from the mother and father God, who are co-creator gods, separate from them, okay? I know it's probably a point of contention, an issue that a lot of people who listen to my radio show wonder about. And I've explained it before, and I'll explain it again. The mother and father God, the creators of this solar system, co-creator gods, who were like us at one time, living on different planets throughout the universe, going through that process of reincarnation, developing their spirituality and their soul's evolution, achieve that level of perfection where they could become co-creator gods and then utilize the powers and forces of the universe by speaking things into existence. Of course, they need their soulmate to do that. There has to be a mother and a father. The universe is male and female, my friends, regardless of what some people thousands of years ago said. Mothers and fathers create children. A father alone can't create children. Does that make sense? Even Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father," although he should have said, "Our Mother and Father in heaven." Don't get this wrong, my friends. Don't get this wrong. Don't transition to the afterlife not knowing that you have a mother God in heaven. You're not a motherless spirit and soul. You have a mother God there. Besides, Father God, you know, in all his power and glory, in all his omnipotence, although he's a co-creator God, he's not the supreme creator of the universe, but in all his glory and brilliance, wants a woman by his side, period, okay? A king needs a queen, right? A king wants a queen. We men want female companionship, unless you're one of those people that have a spirit of an opposite sex in your body, otherwise known as gay or homosexuals, who are beautiful people, very brave souls to come here and endure that ridicule. Things are better now than they were before. We should love them and respect them, because why are they doing that? Because they're maybe paying back some karmic debt, but also because they want to make the world a better place. I'm going to take a drink. And that's a pretty common theme that I talk about on my show, making the world a better place. And you should too, my friend. Another drink of water. What can you do to make the world a better place? Well, there's lots of different things. As I mentioned, being kind, being generous, recognizing your fellow human beings. Certainly not killing people like we're doing right now around the world in wars in Gaza and Ukraine. Man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. Did you get that? So we need to pray, P-R-A-Y, so that men and women won't prey, P-R-E-Y, on men and women. Can you remember that? Please pray. I pray all the time. The main reason that we have wars is because people in different areas of the world lack the intellect to resolve their differences peacefully. Bottom line, period. They're just not smart enough to figure it out. In the meantime, a lot of innocent children, women, and men too are being killed for no good reason. And that's plain and simply wrong. But welcome to planet Earth, a Category 1 planet, otherwise known as the planet of sorrows, where we've had a lot of killing that's gone on throughout the history of the world over the centuries from the very beginning. Why? Because this is a very difficult planet to live on, my friends. And if you've survived up until this time, give yourself a pat on the back. I'm going to take a drink. To come here to this jewel in the universe, where life abounds, over a million types of insects, 30,000 types of fish in the ocean, seas, rivers, and lakes, 10,000 birds, 10,000 reptiles, 9,000 amphibians, 5,000 types of mammals, all the trees and flowers, and fruits and vegetables. In a world where we are not top of the food chain, where Mother Nature can be very harsh sometimes, shall we say, where you can get struck by lightning and get killed by earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and flash floods and tsunamis. Not to mention all the life, I mean, the animals that can eat you or kill you by poisoning you, snakes and spiders. So it is a very difficult and hard school of learning. And you should be proud of yourself, first of all, for volunteering to come here and learning and growing from this great learning environment in the University of the Universe, in this school of planet Earth. And hopefully, you will graduate, and I will too, to a higher existence, because, as I said, planet Earth is a category one, which means it's at the bottom level of evolution among all the other planets. And again, they're discovering them all the time, okay? So don't just forget that as simple words. They're out there. Planets of higher evolution, ready for you to graduate to. Let me tell you a little bit about what like a category two, category three planet of evolution is like. Instead of learning basic social values and killing each other like we've done over the centuries, right? They are more loving. They adore each other. They understand who they are. And with most of them, they're not born into that planet and pass through the river of oblivion. Yes, I'll repeat that. The river of oblivion is like a veil where the memories of your past lives are erased and your access to universal knowledge is erased. In other words, we're made to forget, my friends, who we are. And that's another part of the school of learning, too. We have to try to remember who we are and work it out in our minds and think logically and rationally. We can do that. That's what I've done. That's what I've been talking about. That's what my show is all about. The Church of the Soul's evolution. We're evolving. Once we figure out that we were made to forget, we were born into this world, went through that river of oblivion and forgot where we came from before we were born. You remember when you were born, my friends? No, I can't either. I can remember when I was 2 years old. Seems a long time ago. I'm 70, almost 71. But it's that way for specific reasons. Planet Earth is that way for a specific reason, because it's meant to be hard so that you can learn and grow. And it's all about growth. Welcome to the universe of growth, my friends, the supreme creator is out there, creator of the universe, who made all of this. We wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the creator of the universe, who put that plan into effect all those billions of years ago, through the Big Bang, the Creator had envisioned everything that would be, all the atoms, everything that would exist down to the smallest pebble, envisioned it in his, her, I say his, her, because the creator is both male and female, mind, and then by the sheer power of his, her will, initiated that huge explosion where the universe began forming itself one solar system at a time, until enough solar systems comprised a galaxy, and then a new galaxy began to form one solar system at a time. That was part of the plan, but also our spirits and souls are involved with that. So let me just take a drink here. The creator of the universe commanded the four forces of the universe. The first force was the force that created all the suns, the planets, and the moons. The second force created all the plant and animal life on those worlds, all those planets. The third force created all the sentient life, like us human beings on this planet, and all those other sentient beings that are out there, trillions of them, civilizations that have been in existence for hundreds of millions of years longer than the Milky Way galaxy, even. That's the truth. And they've been traveling around space in a very quick fashion, from A to B, warping time-space, traveling interdimensionally between dimensions. So they're kind of like our older brothers and sisters. We're the new kids on the block. Especially this solar system and its spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. I mean, we're pretty far from the center, so the center is where it all starts. So we are kind of the new guys on the block. You know, we're a young species like Transformers. I forget, Optimus Prime said, they're a young species. We have to look after them, or something like that. We are a young species. But I also think that there are a lot of old souls here on planet Earth. Every single one that was born, every single person that was born into this planet knew what they were getting themselves into. This is one of the hardest schools of learning in the universe, my friends. I'm serious. Please believe me. Be proud of how far you've come so far. Some people are dying each day. Some people don't live to be a ripe old age. Babies die. You can die when you're 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. I made it this far thanks to the Mother and Father God's grace, the creative universe grace, the creative universe's grace. I'm very grateful for being here. And I have almost died before. I know I have. I won't go into the details, but suffice it to say, a lot of people have almost died. But going back to growth, to create, or put that incredible plan into effect. I'm going to take another drink. Not only with sentient beings, but also the fourth force, which is the part, the force that put an infinitesimal piece, a spark, of the creator of the universe's spirit into sentient life. In other words, the soul, the light of the soul, the lamp of the soul, as a spark of the creator of the universe in your soul. It's kind of like a flame in a lantern, if you will. And I've said this before, I'll say it again, the objective of each and every human being that's born into this planet is to increase the intensity of that light in your soul. Say, for example, you were born into this world already pre-developed, well-traveled soul, an old soul, maybe a mystic traveler. Maybe you've got 25 past lives under your belt, so to speak. And you are born into this world with a 60 watt. I'm just using this as an example. Intensity, lamp, soul. Did you get that? The lamp of your soul is shining with a 60 watt bulb intensity. when you're born into this world, and the objective for you, this is an example, is to graduate from this existence, increase the lamp of your soul up to a 100 watt intensity. Because when you get to the spirit world, you're going to notice that everyone is shining with their own light. All the spirits, the redeemed, angels even shine with a specific light. The mother and father God shine so brightly because they have achieved that growth. And do not mothers and fathers grow from having children? They learn from their children. It's an amazing experience. And so the mother and father God who created our souls and our spirits benefit from our growth. And when we have children, we benefit from their growth. And so the cycle continues. The growth that the creator of the universe seeks is what we are achieving for him, her. Is there anything greater than growth, my friends? I'm going to take a drink. Do you know anything greater than growth? Think how far we've come as babies. We were babies once. We see a baby and we say, oh, what a beautiful baby. But we forget that we were babies once ourselves. I remember one time I was looking at a baby. It must have been just maybe a few weeks old. And the mother had it. I just thought I'd pop this question just to see what, well, not really a question, but I said, hey, I was a baby one time. I could have sworn I saw that baby's face light up when I sat there. A pretty cool thing to say, right? Hey, I was a baby at one time. And now look at me. I'm a 7-year-old man, going on 71. And now I'm standing up, 68 inches tall, weigh about 155, 160 pounds. I've achieved some pretty good growth, don't you think? From a baby? I've got pictures of when I was a baby. I was a cute little baby. All babies are cute, right? Have you ever heard of any ugly babies? No. We're all beautiful when we're born. That's why we shouldn't be killing each other. That's another reason, right? People harden their heart. And I understand why they do it. Some people don't have enough money to take care of themselves or their families. In parts of this world, like in third world countries, that's the kind of existence they face on a daily basis. And I'm not so sure I wouldn't do the same thing myself. If I didn't have any food on the table, I had to feed my family, getting paid to kill people, getting paid to fight in wars. It's unfortunate. You look at the average income of someone who lives in the Ukraine right now, for example, or someone in the Gaza Strip. You know how much they make a year compared to what the average income is here in the United States? Only like $3,000. It's that much. My point is, these people that are involved with fighting, we shouldn't make them out to be really bad guys. Yes, they do some pretty terrible things, like the Hamas who perpetrated the October 7th massacre, you know, the terrible things that they did. But my friends, think on the other side of the coin. That kind of horror and terror has been going on throughout the centuries. Think of what the Romans used to do to the Christians back then, putting them in arenas with wild animals, lions and bears, and watching them getting torn apart, or coating them with tar, lighting them on fire. Gladiators to kill each other in the arenas for entertainment. Are we that much better? I know that was terrible. I heard one Hamas person killed a pregnant woman, took the baby out, and decapitated the baby. But that stuff's been happening from the very beginning, my friends. That's nothing new. Of course, it shouldn't happen. I'm not saying, you know, that is a good thing. It's a terrible thing. We all can agree on that. But people, they get caught up in the killing. Again, that's happened all the time in wars. They do terrible atrocities. Look what the Germans did to the Jews, and I'm part Jewish myself. over 6 million killed in World War II by the Nazis. Which way of death is worse? How can you say that one way is a good way to die, the other way is not so good or not so is better? Dying is bad, period. I'm gonna take a drink. Going back to some of the other good things I've done in my life, I mentioned my son. Getting married to my wife right now. It's a beautiful thing. I don't think, again, like I said before, I'd be here today if it wasn't for her. Oh, one of the dogs wants to come out. I think I'll just wait because my time's almost over here. Got that black belt in Taekwondo. I'm almost fluent in Spanish. I don't have native speaking fluency, but I can say almost anything I want to, and I can almost understand everything. I skydived 4 times. I'm a certified scuba diver. I've had quite a few cars. I've had enough money in my lifetime. My parents, they were kind of poor. Dad was an alcoholic, and so he used to drink a lot of the money away. But Mom always managed to put food on the table. She was an alcoholic herself, but they were good to us. You know, showed us love. I mean, they were World War II babies and suffered from pretty serious PTSD. My father was in Normandy and Dunkirk. My mother went through the bombing of London. And I saw that PTSD from a first-hand basis, you know, but they were very loving to me, and they bought me 3 cars. God bless their souls, please. Yeah. I say, when I pray, I usually pray to the creator of the universe, you know. I sometimes pray to the Mother and Father God, but I have a relationship with the creator of the universe. I can pray to him, her, anytime. I sing out here in the back patio to all my songs. And I've got over 100 songs that I sang for the Wounded Warriors for 6 years. Beautiful songs. Let me just name a few. I know a couple of songs from Blue Oyster Cult. I Love the Night, Godzilla, Old Man by Neil Young, Hey Jude by the Beatles, and several other, about a dozen other songs by the Beatles, Wichita Lineman, Glenn Campbell, Fire and Rain, James Taylor, Sunshine on My Shoulders, John Denver, I've Got a Name, Jim Croce, Country Roads, John Denver, Love Will Find a Way, Pablo Cruz, Wheel in the Sky, Journey, Life's Journey, Don't Stop Believing, Heaven and Hell, Black Sabbath, Hypnotized, Fleetwood Mac, Spirits in the Material World, Walking on the Moon, The Police, Limelight, Rush, Dreams I'll Never See, Molly Hatchet, Saucer Leader, Summer Nights, Diesel, Ordinary World, Duran Duran, Main Street, Bob Seger, Nothing Else Matters, Metallica, Alone Again, Dawkins, I Love to Change the World, 10 Years After, Time in a Bottle, Jim Croce, Love is Alive, Gary Wright, Send Me an Angel, The Scorpions, Take It Easy, The Eagles, Lion Eyes, The Eagles, Country Roads, John Denver, They Call Me the Breeze, Leonard Skinner, Simple Man, Leonard Skinner, Running Down a Dream, Tom Petty, Stairway to Heaven, Led Zeppelin, oh, I know that song, Backwards and Forwards. I sang it at the Wounded Warriors several times, and it's a difficult song to sing, believe it or not. Bittersweet Symphony of the Nerve, the Verve, excuse me, Wicked Game, Chris Isaac, Listen to the Music, The Doobie Brothers, Take It to the Limit, The Eagles. I can go on. I've got about 50, 75 more, just like that, my friends, that I practice all the time. So let me say a quick prayer for everybody. First of all, thank you, Creator, for everything. Thank you for my health. Please bless us, everyone, all your children. Keep us safe and well, if that could be your will, because I know your will includes our missions. And you don't want to give us something that's not already included in our life plan. But thank you for everything, Creator. We love you. We know you love us. Talk to you next week, everybody. Take care. I love you. Bye-bye.